Welcome back here to Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We're in Old Town Fort Collins here this evening. The Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. Great to have everybody aboard with us here. We have another segment with women's basketball coach Ryan Williams. Show tonight brought to you by Go RVing. They're a proud partner of Coaches vs. Cancer in the 3-Point Challenge. Visit 3pointchallenge.org today to make your pledge for every 3-pointer your school makes during this year's Coaches vs. Cancer 3-Point Challenge. Again, brought to you by Go RVing. All right, Ryan, Fall Club 18-7, 10-4 in the season. You've won 6 straight, and you're going to get Fresno State coming up on Saturday. But first, we were talking off the air there, and I saw some of your tweets on Saturday night. You guys paid for that win, though, out in San Jose. So you guys go, get a win on the road in San Jose, drive to the airport for a 6:30 flight, and you don't take off until the next calendar day.
12:38 in the morning on Sunday, we left San Jose, and we had that whole airport all to ourselves. I mean, it was pretty quiet. We had a baseball game going at one end of the airport with part of our team. I don't know, they invented this baseball game. They were teaching our international kids how to play baseball. That was Lauren doing that. Then we had a group that wanted to study, and so it was, we tried to kill as much time as we could, but it was a really long night, long flight back. But I just told the kids, it's a good thing you won, because, yeah, I don't know what would have happened. We would have been doing wind sprints up and down that airport. Yes, you know, that's part of it. You know, the airline was some trouble. You know, it's one of those airlines, it starts with an F and ends with an R. Awful. Okay, let's not go there again. But it just, that's part of it when you travel. And we talk about this with our team at the beginning of the year, is when you do go on the road, the one thing we will be is we will be flexible. We will not let anything put us in a paranoid type of state. We won't freak out if the bus is a little late or if we get a little late to the arena. All that does is screw with winning and losing. You know, let's just keep our mind on what we're here for, regardless of what happens. So our kids are pretty prepared for all that stuff. And we had a good time. We bought them ice cream. They like that, you know. So we spoiled them a little bit. But it was good to get home safe. Now we paid for it today. Today's practice, our kids were so dragging and tired. We had just a really kind of, you know, sluggish practice.
Right. Well, what time did you get into Fort Collins then?
Yeah, we rolled in about 6 in the morning.
6 in the morning.
6 in the morning, yeah.
And that's after playing at 3 in the afternoon the day before
without any
sleep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's – hey, welcome to college athletics. We're not complaining. We were happy to play, and we were happy to get home safe.
All right, so you guys get the quote-unquote bye here in the middle of this week. First time here this season for Colorado State. You'll get another one here in a week and a half, but – what is the game plan here this week? Obviously, the girls sluggish a little bit here today. No game on Wednesday, so the next game's on Saturday. What's the schedule this week?
Well, it's just important that we want to accomplish two things. We want to still keep our edge. You know, we want to kind of stay in that somewhat routine where we're competing, and our stress level, urgency level, we kind of keep where it's been. But at the same time, get some rest. You know, like you said, we're playing some kids some decent minutes, so you know, Taverdi, we're going light on her reps in practice, and she will not practice on Wednesday. Stina's going to have reduced minutes. So is Sophie. But we went hard today for 2 hours just to get them going again. We're going to take tomorrow off, and then on Wednesday we're going to come back and play just kind of a simulated game, just like we usually play on Wednesdays, but it's going to be really short and snappy. And then the kids that don't get a lot of run, Brian, they're going to play a full basketball game. We're going to bring in our practice guys, and we're going to bring in some officials, and they're going to play. And then Thursday we'll do our normal, you know, 2-day Thursday, Friday, our normal prep for Fresno on Saturday. So we'll get a lot accomplished this week. We've got a lot of coaches out on the road recruiting this week. When you have a bye week, you do that. So I'm heading out first thing in the morning to jump on a plane and try to find, the next really good Rams.
Right, absolutely. So Fresno State coming up on Saturday, 2 p.m. tip-off. That's a pink-out game, by the way. So certainly
get to the bookstore, get down to the Ram Zone. Let's buy some pink. It's Valentine's Day. Let's buy the lovely ladies a nice pink Ram shirt.
Boy, that fits in nicely, doesn't it?
We did this. It's not an accident. We're geniuses there. I mean, our marketing department is just unbelievably intelligent.
That's so, right. Okay, so pink out. Wear your pink to the game on Saturday. It's a Fresno State team that you guys will be looking for a little revenge. And that was back in the part of the season you guys weren't scoring the basketball very well, but you lost 56-45 at their place. And, of course, they have a really good player.
Wow, Candace is really good. You guys will enjoy watching her play. She's hard to compete against. I mean, she's a young lady that can get her shot anywhere on the floor. She can get in the lane, and she's going to get something up to the rim. She's got a step back three. You know, she's just is really a talented player. And they're kind of like us, where, you know, they're right in the mix. You know, the same record as us.
Yep,
and so
right.
They're thinking championship as well. You know, we've had a nice history with Fresno State. We've had really competitive games. They've played well here in this stretch. I don't know what their last 10 games, what they've won, but they're kind of on a streak as well. And they play a matchup zone, a 2-3 zone. They'll press you a little bit. They kind of keep you off balance. And so they can be difficult to score against if you're not shooting the ball well. We got a lot of good looks the first time we played them. You just have to make them. They make you make perimeter shots. We're going to have to do that. But it starts with White, no doubt.
Yeah, final thought, I was going to say, I mean, this is a big Mountain West Conference game coming up on Saturday. Now, Fresno State's obviously going to play midweek here this week. But you look at the standings right now. You have Wyoming and UNLV sitting at 9-3. Wyoming beating UNLV on Saturday to snap the Lady Rebels' four-game streak. And then there's you guys at 10-4, Boise at 9-4, Fresno State at 9-4. That's five teams all right in the mix battling down the final 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we've got some people on our – you know, we've got a guy on our staff. I think, he likes analytics, or he thinks he does. He thinks he can figure out these numbers. But he says five losses is going to, win the league.
Win the league, which means you would have wiggle room.
Yeah, so – we'll see if they're right. Schlamann's shaking his head. It's a possibility. But, I mean, everybody has a tough schedule down the stretch. I mean, we have probably the most grueling schedule where we have to go to Boise. We've got to go to New Mexico. We do have a very good Fresno team at our place. So we just have to, again, take it game by game and treat every game like it's, the world championship and see where this thing plays out. But our kids, again, I'm just so proud of how they just keep getting better. I really am. And it's just been fun to watch them develop. And they're having fun playing the game right now. They really are. And as a coach, that's neat to see.
All right, Ryan, safe travels for you and your staff that'll be out recruiting. And we'll see you out there on Saturday. It'll be a fun one.
Everybody in. Hey, that Fresno game's a big one. Let's everybody get out there. It's pink out again. And we'll see everybody at Fresno State let's get that victory.
All right, Ryan Williams, head coach of the Colorado State women. We'll take a break. Coming back, talk some men's hoops with Jay Searle. That's next on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, welcome back. Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We are in Old Town Fort Collins. Talking some Colorado State men's basketball now with interim head coach Jay Searle. And Jace, great to see you. Let's give Jace a nice, big, warm round of applause. Jace leading the Colorado State men's basketball team to the 90-79 win against San Jose State on Saturday. And it was a lot of fun to be at the arena and watch the Colorado State Rams really play well down the stretch of that contest and run away with the game against San Jose State. Jace, first things first, I know you, but I'm not sure how well the fans out there know you. So give Ram fans a little bit of a background, because assistant coaches are kind of in the background, but you're to the spotlight now. Tell Ram fans a little bit about your background. He's a small-town Kansas boy.
Yep, I was born and raised in Goodland, Kansas. Went 2 years at Dodge City Community College, and then finished up my undergrad at Colorado Mesa. It used to be Mesa State. From there, moved back home and was coaching seventh grade boys basketball, and then got the head job at Northwest Tech at 23 years old, and was the coach there for 3 years before going to South Plains as an assistant and then coming here last year. So been all over the place, and moving pretty quick.
So seventh grade boys basketball to junior college basketball as the head coach. How does one make that jump at age 23?
I I don't know. I was actually coaching when they called me and told me, and I had to have our PE teacher take over and run the rest of practice so I could talk to them and, you know, when they were going to announce the hire and everything like that. But we still run some of the same plays that we ran the other day, a little bit of ball screen ISO stuff for those seventh graders. So it works at all levels.
That's right. At the end of the day, basketball is basketball, isn't it? And so you were at Northwest Tech, which is a program there in Goodland, junior college program that you started up. I mean, you were the first head coach for that program, and one of your first players at the program was Gian Clavel.
Yep. Got the job in about January, which gave 8 months to put together a team before we started the following year. And I mean, that was interesting. I mean, you're thinking about all the things, got to get players, got to do this. And when reality, we got to order a ball rack, we got to order basketballs, we got to order nets, we got to order pads and all those things. So, you got to get the floor refinished, you got to do all those things. So, that was first and foremost. And then we went and found some players and we actually signed, Gian, I want to say right before school started, maybe August 18th, August 20th, something like that. Went out and watched him and several of his teammates in Las Vegas, and I thought he was obviously way too good for us. And I mean, we're lucky we came across him when we did, because if I'm trying to recruit him in June and he's asking, well, how'd you guys do last year? It's like, well, there wasn't a last year. So luckily he didn't really have a choice, and he probably didn't understand what I was saying half the time because his English wasn't as good back then.
But, right.
He trusted me and went from there.
Yeah, you knew he could play back then, though, didn't you?
Oh, man. I mean, I remember watching his highlight film in high school, and it was like, you know, what's going on? You know, who is this kid, and why is he still available? And obviously had a little trouble qualifying late. That's why he ended up needing to go JUCO. So, you know, right place, right time.
Yep, and then, of course, obviously, Gian capping off his career as the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year last season. Well, Jace, talk a little bit about Saturday and – What was going through your mind? I know you were probably excited, and boy, everyone out there just seemed to kind of let loose, the players, the coaches, and went out there and had fun.
Yeah, I mean, when we got told as a group, we kind of got together and we talked about what we wanted to get out of yesterday, out of Saturday, and having fun and going out there and playing for each other, and you know, that everybody in that locker room, you know, all the staff, support staff, strength coach. Everybody was there for those guys in that room, and you know, and they look around and, you know, everybody's there to support them. And we wanted to go out there and play loose and free, and didn't want them looking over at the bench or anything like that. Just wanted them to go and play. And like I said, they went out there and played for each other, and there's, you know, they were laughing and smiling, and I mean, it's always fun when you're winning.
Yep, absolutely. And the Rams did win it 90-79 over San Jose State. And the Rams picking up their 11th win of the season. We'll take another timeout. Still a couple more segments coming up with Jace. We'll get deeper into that San Jose State game when we come back. Stay with us tonight here at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon, the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, welcome back here to Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon here on a Monday night, talking some Colorado State basketball with interim head coach Jace Earle. Tonight's show brought to you by Foothills. It's the spot to go for your post-game. Enjoy more than a dozen restaurants and eateries. And, of course, use that newly opened pedestrian walkway right under College Avenue. It's a stress-free max trip to the stadium or to Moby Arena. Visit shopfoothills.com for more details. All right, Brian Rothback with you talking about the big 90-79 win over San Jose State from Saturday. And the Rams go to 17-0 all-time against the Spartans, and they get the season sweep here. This year, a lot of interesting numbers to get to from that game, Jason. I guess first things first, let's start off with Nico Carvacho. Yes. I mean, he was a monster again. 26 points, 20 rebounds. It was the first 2020 game at Colorado State since 2007 when Jason Smith, who, of course, is now in the NBA with the Washington Wizards, went for 27 and 22. The win at Wyoming. So first time it's been done in 9 years.
Holy cow.
He was impressive.
Yeah, he was. And I mean, it's – The 20 rebounds, I mean, it's hard to even explain, because you look up and you feel like he's getting them all, and then you look up there and he is, you know. And I mean, it's one of those deals where I think with 5 or 6 minutes left, Pierce pointed up and he's like, you know, Nico's getting close to 20 and 20. It's like, holy cow. And, you know, we tried to get the ball to him a couple places where he could score it close to the basket. But, you know, as far as the rebounding thing goes, I mean, he's been on an absolute tear. And if it wasn't for a couple single-digit games with points, you know, he'd be right there on Emmanuel Mogbo's double-double record in the Mountain West.
Yeah, that no question. I mean, he's like 8 of the last 11 games, a double-double for Nico Carvacho. What have you seen from him? It almost seems as if that proverbial light has gone off with him, especially on the boards. It's happened really for the most part in conference play, but what have you seen from Nico that has led him to be so dominant?
I mean, he just puts the work in. He's a good kid. He always knows what's going on throughout the game, time and score, and he just puts himself in the right positions to get the rebounds, and he's aggressive, and he's kind of got that Emmanuel thing going on where now if it's him and one of the other guys together, he always kind of gives him an elbow to get him out of the way so he can get two or three more rebounds that way.
He
snatches up all the free throw misses right around there, which is how you add another rebound or two. So he's kind of become a veteran in that, learning from Emmanuel. But, I mean, he just plays hard, and he goes after the ball, and he's huge.
Yep.
So, I mean, that combination is pretty tough to stop.
Well, he's got a great frame. And the thing you realize, too, about Nico is he is only a sophomore. And,
yep.
And you'd have to remind yourself of that sometimes. But he came back this year, and I thought really – looked like he had filled out, and now you still have two more years to put. I mean, again, he's going to be a bigger kid next year in his senior year. And he's been a kid that steps out and now all of a sudden is knocking down a three occasionally.
Yeah, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And, I mean, he's been in the program for 3 years. Went against guys like Teal in practice every day when he was a red shirt and kind of got pounded on in the 3-on-0 rebounding stuff. So he's earned his stripes for sure, and he's out there playing with confidence. But that – you know, that all comes with the going to the gym at night, going to the gym in the mornings, doing all that stuff on the gun and getting extra shots up. And like I said, he's playing with a lot of confidence, and you got to guard him out there. And, you know, Air Force, he hits a nice one dribble pull up at the end of the clock. And he just knows how to play the game.
Right. Well, he had a drive in the, I think it was the Air Force game, where he caught it top of the key, drove down the lane and threw it down with two hands, which is something we have not seen from Nico, but we saw it there. All right, a couple other performances to talk about from the 90-79 win against San Jose State on Saturday afternoon. And how about Anthony Bonner? You know, Prentice Nixon comes back in the starting lineup. Bonner coming off the bench, and he responded for you coming in and gave you a great punch off the bench.
Yeah, we coming off the bench and being extremely aggressive, looking to score and, you know, give us that pop off the bench and get Prentice back in the starting lineup. So, you know, it's never easy, you know, giving up that starting spot when he really did nothing to lose that per se. But I thought he handled it like a man and came in there and did what we asked him to do and played 25 minutes and only had one turnover as well. So 7-for-10 from the field. It's not like he was out there being reckless and selfish. I mean, he let the things come to him and the ball found him when it was late clock and he made the right plays.
And he's a kid who continues to grow this year as well. And you saw it last year, and you know he's a good shooter. You know he's a good offensive player, and the confidence wasn't quite there. It took him a few games this year to kind of get into that flow where you know he can score, and now we're seeing a confident offensive player out there in Anthony Bonner.
He's just a really good basketball player. I mean, he can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. Not a great athlete, but I think he's probably one of our best finishers, if not the best, around the rim in transition. Had a really nice play at the end of the shot clock with 1 or 2 seconds left, getting to the front of the rim in the second half, which was a big play. And seems to find himself in the right spots on defense, too. I mean, he plays both ends of the floor, rarely gets sped up. And another guy that's, you know, was talking to him earlier, and he was going to tutoring and then was going to get in the gym tonight, you know. So that's always cool for those guys to get in there and put that extra work in, and then they get to see the reward from it.
All right, so Colorado State never trailed in the contest. You got up by 10 in the first half. They reeled you back in a couple of times. It's a 60-59 game in the second half with 11 minutes to go. You guys went on that 11-0 run, Jace, to get that lead back up to 12, and you really were able to close out a game, which is something that it's been a struggle at home over the past month and a half.
It all started out with stops. I mean, you know, we were kind of trading baskets, and they hit a couple shots. You know, we took a couple shots that were probably a little quick, a little rush, but then, you know, from that point on, we got 7 straight stops in a row, you know, which that's without fouling, that's without giving up a bucket, a free throw, or anything like that, and that's when you go on your runs, is when you get those multiple stops in a row, and then you go down the floor, and you're able to run good offense, and you execute, and then you get good looks, so that's kind of how we spread that out, and the guys were they were playing with energy and they were playing fast.
Yeah, to close out a game like that, I mean, can this ball club kind of feel a sense of relief maybe to know that, hey, we've been up on teams but haven't been able to shut the door on them. You guys were able to shut the door and maybe give them a renewed belief that, hey, we can get this done.
Yeah, we didn't want to, you know, when we called timeouts or there was a media timeout, we didn't want to talk about, you know, here we go again, what, you know, what's going to happen. We talked about, you know, what can we do, you know, to solve it? You know, what can we do to get in the right spots? What can we do to get the stops that we need to do to bust the game open? And, you know, and we didn't want to talk about, you know, here it comes again, you know, what are we going to do, that type of thing. So I thought they responded, and, you know, like I said, they kept sharing the ball. And we wanted to stay aggressive, too. You know, we didn't want to sit back on our heels. We got up by 17, but we didn't want to, you know, we wanted to keep the foot on the gas.
Yep, and you certainly did that. And never let San Jose State back in that contest again. 90-79, the final score from Saturday. Rams go to 17-0 all time against San Jose State. And you came over to Press Row, where our radio broadcast spot is, for the post-game interview, and looked at your suit, and yeah, that was looked like you had just jumped in the pool. How's the suit doing?
It's to the dry cleaners? Cleaner. Yeah, this morning I got up early and took that to the dry cleaner and my
so
other
what happened?
Jacket.
What happened? You get in the locker room and they doused you?
Yeah, me and Pierce stopped right outside the locker room and was kind of talking about what we thought the schedules would be the next few days, and it was real quiet in there, and kind of walk around the corner, and then they just jumped out, and I mean, Powerade bottles and water bottles and everything like that, and it felt like it went on for about 10 or 15 seconds when in reality it was two or three, but it was plenty of water.
Well, good. That's a nice suit coat that you had out there that on Saturday. So
yeah, I appreciate that.
Hopefully they can get whatever it is they poured on you out. All right, again, a lot of smiles at Moby Arena on Saturday afternoons. The Rams able to get the victory against San Jose State. 90-79 is the final score of that one. All right, another timeout. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up with interim head coach Jay Searle. That's next here on the CSU Coaches Show presented by Coors Light. We're at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon here on this Monday on the Colorado State Sports Network. All right, one final time, we bring you back here. Lucky Joe, Sidewalk Saloon, Coors Light, Coach of Show. Talking to Ben's Hoops with interim head coach Jay Searle. Show tonight brought to you by UC Health, with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region. The game changers in medicine are at UC Health. UC Health, live extraordinary. Again, the Rams get the 90-79 victory against San Jose State on Saturday. And we're going to look ahead to Fresno State coming up this coming Saturday in a minute. But be remiss not to mention Robbie Berwick on Saturday as well against San Jose State. Boy, yeah, he came in. Talk about Anthony Bonner giving you some instant offense off the bench in the first half. Same could be said for Robbie Berwick, the junior out of Atascadero, California.
Yeah, he came in, played with a lot of energy, and you know, let the ball find him on a couple of those shots and knocked him down. He's a good spot-up shooter, made a really nice play in the paint, but gave us 19 good minutes, 8 points, 3 rebounds, no turnovers. So played with a lot of energy, and by the time at about the four-minute mark when he came out, he was pretty gassed. He had his hands down on his knees. I don't think he's used to playing that much, but was a great spark off the bench and played extremely hard. Drew a charge on Wellage late in the game, kind of when it was a little tighter, so it's good to see.
Yeah, and one other thing from that game that you and I were talking about off the air, 17 fast break points for your team. That's a lot. I mean, 17 fast break points is a huge, huge number.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to them about going out there and playing fast, and we've got multiple guys that can bring the ball up the floor, multiple guys that can put the ball on the floor, 19 assists, you know, 7 turnovers with that. So I thought we really got out in transition and shared the ball well and put a lot of pressure on the defense. It didn't necessarily result in free throws and things like that, but, you got Nico rebounding those basketballs, and he can push the ball in transition. Che Bob can. You know, obviously Raquan can and his speed and athleticism, but that's something we got to get a little more used to, is our wings running the lanes and those type of things, and obviously we'll work on that this week and practice a little bit, but was extremely happy with the way that they played fast and didn't turn it over.
Yeah, you mentioned Nico bringing the ball up the court. He did that, I think, 2 or 3 times.
Went behind his back one time.
Right. He did go behind his back. I mean, he got a 6'11 guy going around his back, bringing it up into the forecourt.
Yeah, he made sure to send me that on film. Show me that.
I'm sure he did say, listen, coach, man, if you need to put me in at point guard, just let me know. I'm a team guy. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do.
That's what he thinks.
All right, so you guys are going to be on the road coming up on Saturday at Fresno State. That'll be a 5 p.m. Mountain tip-off time. I think it's on ESPN3. It will be on the Colorado State Sports Network, though, to tune in to myself and Adam. But A Fresno State team that was a tight one back on the 6th of January, 82-79. Bulldogs came in, got the win in overtime at Moby. What do you remember about that game?
We got down early. We fought back. And then we got up pretty big late, started playing a little hesitant, kind of looking to run the clock out instead of playing basketball. So, and then get into overtime, then it's anybody's game, so – thought we turned them over quite a bit in that game, something we can look to do again. And, we're just going to have to go in there and we're going to have to play smart. Key thing is keeping those guys out of foul trouble, with Nico and Dion and Che and even our guards, being a little short without JD and that type of stuff. But, we got to go in there and execute and execute the game plan defensively and play well.
Yeah, Fresno State is a team that I think they shot 32 free throws against you the first time. They can really get to the free throw line. They have guys that can break you down off the dribble. The Jahron Hopkins kid can really slash inside. And then, Deshaun Taylor, who is one of the leading scorers in the conference, he had 22 in the meeting with you guys the first time. But he's another one of those guys that has up over 150 free throws attempted this season because he can take guys off the bounce, get into the lane.
Yeah, their offense is conducive to that. They really, they run a lot of rub screens that can be considered by us as illegal screens, but that's something we're going to have to play through. They get downhill. Deshaun shot 10 free throws against us at our place. Bryson Williams, really good post player, one of the better posts in the league, shot 10 free throws against us as well. So, that's a big, big part of their game is getting downhill into the paint, drawing fouls.
Yep, absolutely. And, again, Fresno State's been really, really good at the Save Mart Center here this season. And, this is a ball club that is right there in the upper echelon of the Mountain West Conference. Let a couple of games get away. Probably could have been right there.
Right.
Sitting at number three right behind Boise and
Nevada.
Yep. Right, yeah. I don't know how I forget about Nevada. Best team all season long. Yep. But they're really good at their place. All right, so you guys don't have a game on Wednesday. What's the game plan for you guys this week? What is the schedule as you prepare for Fresno State?
We're going to practice. We took today off. Guys have exams and stuff tomorrow, so they got some tutor sessions in today. Took today off. Practice tomorrow around 3:30. Work a lot on us. Guard, put a few things in offensively that we're going to try to focus on. Wednesday, same thing, Wednesday morning, and then Thursday we'll start focusing a little more on what we're wanting to do defensively against Fresno, and then Friday, practice Friday morning, fly out Friday afternoon, and get on the road and get going.
Yeah, hopefully get a nice road win at Fresno State. Yep. Also, I want to point out a couple of the assistant coaches here and the staff. You have Willie Glover back here, Pierce Horning back here, Mike Collins as well, and then your wife, JC Hurl.
Yep.
JC's right back here as well. So a big round of applause to those guys all continuing to work really hard for Colorado State men's basketball. And good to see you guys out here. All right, a couple final thoughts. Give us a key for you guys coming up on Saturday to get back on the road because you guys have had success on the road here this season. How do you get back to maybe pulling off a road win?
We're just executing what we're wanting to do defensively, not having a bunch of miscues defensively, wanting to keep them out of the paint, guard their actions, and then, going and playing playing free, playing fast, trying to execute what we're doing offensively and share the ball and get out there and have fun and watch these guys get up and down and do what they love to do.
Yeah, you're going to have a little more time to prepare for being the lead guy on the sideline as well. Will you be more nervous or less nervous because you've had more time to think about it? Because you were kind of thrusted into the role on Saturday morning, so not a lot of time to think about it. Just go out there and act.
It was good. It was at 2 o'clock, so I didn't have all day to right. sit around and think about it. But, we're just, we're thinking about what we can do to get these guys in the best position to win and for them to execute, what we're asking them to do, but also to go out there and play with a free mind and play together and play for each other and the university.
Yep, absolutely. Well, they played with a joy that was fun to watch on Saturday, and I know we're looking forward to seeing you guys the rest of the year. Just two home games left coming up a week from Wednesday against Boise State, the week after that against New Mexico. Would love to see big crowds for the final two home games of the season to support this staff and support the Rant. Jace, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We'll see you guys on Wednesday at home.
All right, interim coach Jace Hurl, that'll do it tonight from Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. Thanks for tuning in. on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.